lecture I was giving, and after the talk, a woman came to introduce herself, and she told me, "I am the sister of Father so-and-so, whom I had in class in theology, and Lord, have mercy on us." And he happens to have the same name as mine. I've taught too many priests. How hard it is for above normally gifted, mentally gifted people to remain humble and not allow themselves to be seduced by the devil. Very hard. When you see or meet a really intelligent Catholic believer, say to yourself, "That is grace walking the streets." Pride has seduced so many, especially intellectuals. For what have I have pardoned? If I have pardoned anything for your sakes, have I done in the person of Christ, that we be not overreached by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, be not overreached by Satan. There are two forms of pride, and both are satanic. The first one you would expect, the second you may not. We are proud when we overreach ourselves. We claim to have what we don't possess. When we aim to achieve what is beyond both our natural and supernatural capacity. But can we be also proud by underreaching ourselves? Yes. Who remembers among the people in the parable who received, remember, 10 talents, 5 talents, and 1. Which of the 3 was condemned?
Or buried it.
The 1. Oh, what lectures I could give on this kind of pride, the pride of underreaching ourselves. You know, to recognize the graces and talents that God gave us and use them. Do you hear me? Use them. Use them. Use them for others. Use them to bring others closer to Christ. Use them to share your faith with other people. Quotation 18, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Ooh. How well I know. The devil is very smart. And by the way, let's face it, the devil is more intelligent than we are. Do you hear me? Naturally, more intelligent. And the more we strive to follow Christ and be obedient to his divine will, the more the devil will mask himself as a good angel. I think I may have told at least part of this episode before. A woman called Mystic in Wisconsin. Problems were arising because she was publishing books by her, quote, spiritual director. And I asked her questions. Not genuine. Anyway, the books that she published, just dripping with holy water. Incense, every page. But not genuine. Last meeting we had, I may have told you this, her spiritual director, her father, natural father, and myself. After about an hour and a half of, that's called a dialogue, the father got up, stared me in the eye, pointed me, are you questioning that my daughter is a mystic who is getting these divine revelations? I couldn't tell a lie. Of course I'm questioning. Took his daughter and just left the room. Lucky he did not hit me over the head. He was so angry. And the bottom line, with so many close mystics, so many locutions going around these days, there are now newspapers, as you know, all kinds of seers, all kinds of mystics. There's one sure norm, and that is that alleged mystic humble? A true mystic never promotes him or herself. Am I clear? Pride. Talk about the devil masking as an angel of light. I can be so specific, but I'm going to cover as much as I can. Be sober and watch, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, goes about seeking whom he may devour. And in that English language of ours, sober. The first meaning of be sober does not mean don't be intoxicated with alcoholic drink. Basically, be sober means think. In prosaic English, use your head. And watch. In other words, expect. I cannot think of a single imperative I can share with you during this, my focal course we're having this fall. Expect. Expect to be tempted by the devil. Expect it. And I'm saying this from my heart. You are all, which is the pronoun, we are all being daily tempted by the devil. You don't explain, for example, why we are here gathered in a once flourishing Catholic school. And of course they aren't an empty convent. If that's not the work of the devil, then I don't know even the basics of Catholic thought. You don't close 62 parishes, the Archdiocese of Chicago, less than 2 years, 42 in the Archdiocese of Detroit, without a reason. What's the reason? D-E-V-I-L. Quotation 20. Woe to the earth and to the sea, because the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, knowing that he has but a short time. In other words, the devil has no time to waste. Short time in two ways. Our lives here on earth are short. The devil wants, and I mean deeply, strongly wants, all of us in hell with him. He wants it. And it's short because even the life of the human race over the denominator of eternity and how long humanity will remain in this world, it will be as nothing compared to over the eternity which awaits all of us. In other words, and notice, woe to the earth and to the sea, all the devil has come down unto you. The earth and the sea, of course, symbolize the planet on which we are living. The human race is a tempted race. It is a demonically seduced race. What if I do this? What if I start answering your questions? And if you have any time left, I would, however, if we don't finish today, we have class, am I correct, next Sunday? There's one class I will have to omit or miss in November, because some will make it up how they do it. Because I think I told you I have to go to Calcutta on the 5th of November. I think there's a class scheduled for the 9th. And I would have been free on the 9th, except I went to Calcutta and I got more work. So you'll find hopefully a substitute for the 9th of November. In any case, having class next Sunday. And I urge you, by the way, to read the notes that I've given you, those pages, read them. And the books that I mentioned that I recommended. Also, I cannot tell you how valuable it is, all we can, of course, from good Catholic sources, all we can about the evil spirit. And as you probably know, one of the pathetic errors and made the rounds of Catholic circles, priests scoffing at the idea of a real devil. Sister Nirmala opened her talk at the televised funeral with a simple yet powerful prayer: Mary, Mother of Jesus, be a mother to us now. And obviously the emphasis is on the now. 23 years of teaching the missionaries of charity, I can tell you they have many enemies. You know, all the help from Our Lady. Wouldn't the canonization of Mother Teresa in the Jubilee year 2000 make it a special celebration, if it gets possible? Of course, with God, everything is possible. I am told there already are 4 recognized miracles performed to Mother Teresa's intercession. I discussed it with Sister Nirmala, and all I need is more time. I said, Father, would you take care of that? The scriptures use the terms Sheol, Hades, Gehenna, the bosom of Abraham, and hell. How do these terms apply to purgatory and hell? How did hell change after Christ's resurrection? Well, first, the various names. And this is why we just need an infallible church to explain the meaning of Scripture. And the English translations of the Bible with big shining imprimaturs that remove the word hell from the biblical text. So each has a different connotation, which, be happy to explain, I think I'll spare you that. How these terms apply to purgatory and hell. The basic difference, of course, is purgatory is temporary and hell is eternal. To know the eternity of hell is to cease to be a Catholic. How did hell change after Christ's resurrection? My hope is there are fewer people going to hell. But the one great blessing of the Incarnation is that we now are infallibly certain that there is both a hell, that it is eternal, and there is no reincarnation. I did tell you, didn't I, about the debate on aspect I had with the Jehovah's Witnesses in Chicago, remember? You cannot believe that hell is eternal. It's not what the Bible says. So I asked the Jehovah's Witness, what is the Greek word for everlasting? Had no idea. So I told that person, and by that time the crowd standing around. And when Jesus said on the last day, and the just will go into everlasting life, and sinners, we have not repented, we're going to everlasting punishment. Did Jesus use the same word for everlasting life and everlasting punishment? He had no idea. Yes. Aionios. So the poor Jehovah's Witnesses. Yeah, I told you. The policeman had to get the crowd off the street. And by the way, any time any one of you could prevail, you ought to be intelligent. No amateur heretics. An intelligent heretic, whether a minister or a layperson, I would be delighted to have a debate. How's that? Wouldn't that be wonderful? You might even advertise it in a larger crowd. I love, as they now say, to dialogue with non-Catholics or anti-Catholics. Just sheer joy. Is it possible that the so-called mystics do not realize they are, that is, their mysticism is from the devil? Have you met any that you think are truly deceived? Oh, yes. And some not so far away. I teach ninth grade CCD church history. Each year I find, I like the I, lowercase. Let's start a revolution. I find many in my class who no use things like carrot cards and Ouija boards. I wonder why I convince them this is dangerous. Well, it might not be a bad idea. I didn't expect these questions. And if somebody I have things to do every minute of my time, but if someone could find one or two people who had used Ouija boards and suffered as a consequence, it would be good. And that person put something on paper. Ouija boards are very dangerous. The devil and this is the church's teaching and the experience that I've had. People using Ouija boards or tarot cards are inviting the evil spirit. Do they need to have a special blessing said over them? Well, it should help. What they especially need is to be convinced what they're doing is playing with Satan. And you don't play with Satan. In the New Testament, we have the sacraments in which we receive grace. What did the Jews have or use to help them from losing their faith? Explain. Well, they had the Mosaic Law. They had the teaching of the prophets. Of course, of Moses. And they have prayers, the Psalms. However, what happened to the Jewish people, and having lectured in Jewish synagogues, and I would recommend even reading the book called American Judaism. The author just happens to have the name of Father Hearn. I love the Jews. And I brought my share of Jews into the Catholic Church. They're not easy to convert. But the source of grace for the Jews was what God had revealed through and to the prophets to teach the people. And the one thing which the Jews were taught by their prophets, especially Isaiah, was that the Messiah would have to suffer. And what happened when the Messiah came? The Jews, so many of the majority, have been so misled by their, misleaders, the high priests, Pharisees, that the Messiah they were expecting would not be a Messiah who would suffer. When the Messiah, the real Messiah, came, this can't be. And this also tells us something. There is no channel of grace without suffering. Do you hear me? And the most, what word shall I use? The most painful pain is, either accepting what you don't like or giving up what you do like. And leave it to God. And what's your age? Look around sometime and see if there's anybody that looks older than me. Most cases I'm safe. That's life on earth. It is enjoying God, be very happy, but carrying the cross. There is no happiness on earth without the cross. Do you still hear me? My favorite definition of heaven. Heaven is happiness without the cross. A magazine, Signs and Wonders, published by Ted and Maureen Flynn, have published a flyer called Catholic Prophecy Update. On this prophecy update, the theme of numerous visions or visionaries, seers, and accoutionists is that Pope John Paul II will either be killed or forced into exile, where he will suffer and die in extreme pain and be replaced by a black pope who will work with the Antichrist and cause such havoc in the church, causing it to be split. Many Catholics will follow this, quote, black pope. He put any stock in these prophecies. The black pope is said to be a cardinal in the Vatican, and there are many cardinals in the Vatican who are Masons. Is this true? Is this true? Well, by the way, are you hearing me? Simple answer. No. Now, unfortunately, as you know, we're in the crisis to which the Catholic Church is passing, the most serious, no question, in 20 centuries. I think. The number of strongly, firmly believing Catholics is diminishing. And that's one reason for the closing of so many churches. And of course, now my 30th year in working for the Holy See, I know the Vatican a little better than, say, the ordinary Catholic. But my answer remains the same. No. Today you mentioned a man possessed by the devil. How do you yourself determine that someone is possessed? Well, we commonly think of possession as performing strange, well, either actions or behaving in what we might call some psychopathological way. Well, I call that amateur possession. But professional possession, oh, like my friend at Columbia University. In general, the devil, as far as we can use that verb, possesses those people who are chosen by the evil spirit and then not merely allow themselves but choose to cooperate with the evil spirit in promoting, first of all, error. Because all evil begins with error. For example, it is a revealed truth that Jesus Christ is really present in the Blessed Sacrament. Are there those, not just lay people, but priests, who deny that? They are, and I'm not coining a verb, they are possessed. We've got six more classes to go. I have to find a substitute, though, for November the 9th. You'll see more as time goes on. As we prepare for the third millennium, would it be helpful if each New Year's Eve we have a midnight mass in our parish church? I think it would be wonderful. I've said my share of midnight masses between what we call the old and the new year. I think I'm going to be in New Mexico New Year's Day, but I'd say by all means. Please clarify. Does the mercury medal replace the scapular? What is their relationship? Well, I think I've shared with at least some of you how I got involved in Magnus Medal. It changed my life. Remember the boy? Started riding downhill, cracked his head into a tree, fractured skull, permanent brain damage, was in dying condition. I did not wear Magnus Medal, And I think I told you about the Vincentian priest who came in, some of us, HDL faculties, to enroll people in the confraternity. Well, the long story, very short. The moment I pronounced the words of the investiture, that both in life and in death, he may rest happily in a motherly embrace, in Latin, in materno, heus amplex. At that moment, the boy recovered consciousness, saw the trapping in his body, saw his mother, said, "Mom, I am hungry." Anyway, changed my life. The miraculous medal is a miraculous medal. He works miracles, and first, physical miracles, like the dying girl from India here in Detroit. In a coma for months, and her father agreed with the doctors that she should then be, well, deprived of what they call artificial feeding and hydration. The mother, two missionaries of charity, who talked to me, went to the hospital, and enrolled the girl in the miraculous medal. It was a Wednesday, no, Thursday. By next Sunday, she's out of the hospital. It works. Now the scapular medal, its primary focus is on the spiritual life. In other words, enabling those who both wear the medal, and let me tell you, and know something about Our Lady of Mount Carmel, just a little bit about the spirituality, well, of what will be three doctors of the Church, St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, and now the Little Father. And the Holy Father is a Carmelite under vow. So, scapular is to enable us to imitate Our Lady in living a Marian life. Please speak to the idea that God created the devil to tempt humans, and the devil cooperates with God to purify the human condition, to choose God or the devil in our lukewarmness. Well, I wouldn't see that God created the devil in order that he might, say, purify us. We speak of God acting in two ways. What we call his positive will and his permissive will. The devil was not created by God in order to, say, allow the devil to tempt us. God allowed the devil to sin, be thrown into hell, and then God uses the evil in this world to draw greater good somehow, mysteriously, through the evil. How can you obtain grace by listening to a heretic? Well, first of all, I distinguish two ways of using our ears. We can use our ears to hear, and we can use our ears to listen. To listen means to want to hear. But then there are also two ways of listening. We can listen, we want to hear, in order to learn. And we can also listen to want to hear in order to refute. Over the years, I've read so many heretics. For years, much of my reading has been heretical. And I learned that from my own fellow Jesuit, Robert Bellarmine, a contemporary of Luther, Calvin, and the rest of them. He read those heretics, so he would be able to know how to help those who had the faith and want to live the faith, how to answer, reply to these heretics. I thank God for a heretic like Hans Kuhn. I thank God for a heretic like Father Richard McBrien on the faculty of Notre Dame University. But I must say, McBrien is an amateur heretic. Men like Evan Skillebeck's, oh, high quality heresy. By reading those heretics, then I have to think through my faith, more clearly understand it. We have heretics like Karl Rahner and Edward Skillebeck denying the real presence and substituting transfinalization or transignification for the church's transubstantiation. And by the way, the next issue of the Catholic Faith magazine, not subscribing to it yet, please subscribe. It will start under Orders of the Holy See. In the next issue, there will be an explanation of those three words, transubstantiation, transignification, and transfinalization. In other words, transfinalization and transignification are heresies, claiming there's no change. The bread remains bread, but the bread has a different purpose, and transfinalization has a different meaning, transignification, but it's still plain, pure, ordinary bread. Or now some are putting, as you know, sweets into the bread. To what kind of judgment are referring the words of our Lord, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged"? This question is worth $1 million. Two kinds of judgment we can make about people. We can judge their actions, whether the actions they do or perform are good or bad. And we better judge people in that way. We better. I don't judge a person's action, and whether it's good or bad. If the person is nice, and by the way, the most seductive temptations are the temptations of the nice, sweet, smiling people. We have to pass judgments on the goodness or the badness of what people do. Secondly, we can pass judgment on the person's culpability or guilt. Now there, we have to be careful. Well, there's one thing we never know about any person, no matter how evil that action a person performs may be. We don't know how much grace that person has. Am I clear? No way. Only God knows. And people can do the most atrocious things and not realize what they're doing. So when Christ tells us not to judge, we shall not be judged. We are not to judge the culpability, the guilt. I don't say we should never judge that either. For example, you mothers, whether your children are still young or you had younger children, your child does something which is wrong. You don't read a book, find out whether you should, well, spank the child or tell the child that's wrong.